Well, thank you very much, David, for that welcome. It is good to be with you again this Sunday morning. I have a great love and affection for Holland Road, and a particular love and affection for David and Laura and the team here at Holland Road. Thank God for everything that he's doing here in this place at this particular time. The Gospels record Jesus' encounter with two specific individuals in the city of Jericho. One was desperately poor, the other was exceedingly rich. One lived a life of poverty, the other lived a life of luxury. For one, Jericho was all about survival. For the other, it was all about making money. For one, life was taken up with begging, and for the other, life was consumed by business. One lived in the gutter, literally. The other lived in a mansion. Two people, poles apart, on opposite ends of the social spectrum. And as far as we know, these two individuals had never met. Their paths, as far as we know, had never crossed. But both of them were in great need, and both of them had a life-changing encounter with Jesus. One was a blind beggar named Bartimaeus. And the last time I was here, we looked at the story of Bartimaeus. The other was a wealthy tax collector called Zacchaeus. And this is his story that we're going to look at this morning. And we're going to read from the scriptures, which will appear on the screen, from Luke chapter 19. Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. "Zacchaeus," he said, "quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today." Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. "He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner," they grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, "I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord, and if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much." Jesus responded, "Salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost." The film that has been seen by more people than any other in the history of cinematography is the film Jesus, based on Luke's Gospel. And here is this incident as it's portrayed in the film of Jesus meeting Zacchaeus.
Stay in your house today.
My house?
I want to stay in his house.
Belongings to the poor, and if I have cheated anyone, I will pay him back 4 times as much.
And I don't believe it. A tax collector paying back his taxes.
That's impossible.
Salvation has come to this house today. For this man also is a descendant of Abraham. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost.
So we're going to think about this morning what Zach discovered in this encounter with Jesus, and hopefully there are things that we can discover for ourselves in the process. Zacchaeus was a wealthy man. He was wealthy because he was a tax collector. In fact, Zacchaeus was what was called a tax farmer. He had the power to stop people on the road, be they merchants or farmers or simple traders, and he could demand a portion of their goods in payment for the taxes that they owed to Rome. And the Romans had set down very clear guidelines about the percentage of the value of the goods that could be levied by way of taxes. But it was down to the individual tax collector to determine the value of those goods. And therefore, it was always in his interest to overvalue the goods so that he could claim more taxes back. It was always in his interest to do that, and it turned out to be a license to print money. Now, Zacchaeus was actually a chief tax collector. He was the top man in the city of Jericho, which, because it was a crossroads of commerce and trade, was one of the greatest tax collectors collection centers in the whole province of Palestine. And we know that Zacchaeus had always been wealthy because the right to collect taxes was sold to the highest bidder. So if he had the right to collect taxes in Jericho, at some point he'd had to put a lot of money down to get that privilege. But now collecting taxes had made him extremely rich. But for all his wealth, Zacchaeus was an unhappy man. And he discovered, first of all, that you can be rich, but you can be miserable. You can be rich, but you can be miserable. And we know that Zacchaeus was miserable because of what he did. He was desperate to see Jesus. And so he risks ridicule and even violence, goes out into the crowd to try and get a glimpse of this man called Jesus. He sacrifices his dignity. He scrambles up this sycamore fig tree like a little boy in the hope of succeeding of catching a glimpse of Jesus. This is a desperate man, because he's chosen a way of life that has made him a social outcast. The only thing that he has to console him is a pile of money. Now, as we know, money doesn't buy you happiness, although it does mean you can be miserable in considerable comfort. But that's probably not a great consolation to Zacchaeus. He's unhappy, he's miserable, even though rich. There's a young Chinese heiress you may have heard of. Her name's Zhang Xiao. Her father is a big insurance magnate in China. And she's living a life of luxury and pleasure and fun and parties and so on. But she's discovered some significant things about the things that money can't buy. And she said this: money can buy you a house, but not a family. It can buy you a watch, but not time. It can buy you a bed, but not sleep. A book, but not knowledge. It can buy you medical care, but not health. A lot of wisdom for someone who at a young age, I think she's about 22 years of age, has discovered that money isn't cracked up. It isn't all that it's cracked up to be. Riches don't deliver the happiness that they promise. And if you don't believe it, just read some of the stories of lottery winners, and you'll find how true that is. Here's a couple of recent lottery winners. Keith Goff, there on the left. He won £9 million on the lottery. and declared that he'd never have to worry again. 5 years later, at the age of 58, Mr. Gough died from a heart attack brought on by drinking and money problems. £9 million didn't buy him happiness. And then there's Stuart Donnelly there on the right-hand side of the picture. Stuart, he won £2 million in 1997 when he was just 17. He became isolated from friends and was found dead aged 29 in his home in Scotland in January 2010. Those kinds of stories could be repeated many times over. Money doesn't buy you happiness. You can be rich, but you can be miserable at the same time. Second thing that Zacchaeus discovered, perhaps more positively, is that you can be small but visible. Zacchaeus was a little man, so small in fact that his only hope of getting to see Jesus was to climb a tree. He thought that being small made him invisible. He thought he was so inconspicuous that nobody would notice him tucked away in the branches of this tree. But there was somebody who noticed him. Someone who saw right into his hiding place and who looked up into that sycamore tree and called him by name. Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, quickly come down. And Zacchaeus almost fell out of his tree with the embarrassment of being discovered and exposed. This wealthy chief tax collector halfway up a tree. And worse still, it's Jesus who spots him and calls him by name. As far as we know, they'd never met before. It's unlikely that Zacchaeus would have climbed up into a tree to catch a glimpse of somebody that he already knew. Zacchaeus might not know Jesus, but Jesus knows Zacchaeus. He sees Zacchaeus and he comes to where he is. Wonder if there's anybody here this morning and you often feel invisible. You feel as if nobody knows you're there. You feel small and inconspicuous. Zacchaeus has gone through his life feeling like that. At school, always the last one to be picked when they were choosing the basketball team. Always last in the queue. Always pushed to the back of the crowd, trying to see what's going on, seeing through a wall of legs and larger people in front of him. Small and inconspicuous, insignificant to the point of being invisible. But Jesus knows him by name. Now you probably know that in the Hebrew and Greek languages, names have a particular meaning. And there are two main suggestions about what Zacchaeus means. And one of the suggestions, I'll mention the second later on, but one of the suggestions is that Zacchaeus is a shortened form of Zechariah, which means remembered by the Lord. Remembered by the Lord. Zacchaeus wasn't forgotten. He was remembered by the Lord. Jesus called him out from the back of the crowd and the end of the line, and he said, Zacchaeus, I know you, I love you, and I'm picking you to be on my team. He's saying the same thing to you today. You may feel small, but you don't ever need to make the mistake of thinking you're invisible. Others may not notice you. Others might ignore or dismiss you. But Jesus knows you by name. And he wants you on his team. Rosemary's got a song about that. About our Maker who knows our name. Listen and be encouraged by the fact that God knows and loves and values you. Thank you.
I have a maker. He formed my heart before even time began. My life was in his hands. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls and hears me when I call. I have a Father. He calls me his own. He'll never leave me, no matter where I go. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls and hears me when I call. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls and hears me when I call. And hears me when I call. And hears me when I call.
He knows my name. You might feel small, but you're lovable. God loves you and has you in his eyes. What else did Zach discover? Well, he discovered too that you can be alone, but lovable. You can be alone, but lovable. You need to understand what people thought of Zacchaeus. He was a social outcast. People hated him. He was a despised tax collector. He had deliberately chosen a career path that was guaranteed not only to make him very rich, but very lonely. When you read about tax collectors in the Gospels, it's clear that in people's minds, they're always lumped together with prostitutes and other sinners. No self-respecting Jew would have anything to do with a tax collector or a prostitute. So Zacchaeus lives this lonely, isolated life of his own making. If he has any friends at all, they will be other tax collectors, and they will be probably envious of the position and the wealth that he enjoyed. And then this amazing event takes place that transforms his life. Jesus, this man that everyone is talking about, the man that everybody wants to be around and have an interview with, makes this social outcast the object of his special attention, and everyone is complaining. He's gone to be the guest of this notorious sinner. They can't believe it. Of all the people Jesus could choose to spend his time with, he picks the loneliest and the most hated man in the district. And you know, if you think about it, that was always what was so infuriating about Jesus. He was always hanging out with the wrong kind of people. People who were born or lived permanently on the wrong side of the tracks. He was constantly being criticized for it. In fact, he got the reputation of being a friend of sinners. I wonder what your reputation is. I wonder how people talk about you. What is Holland Road Baptist Church? known for. Jesus was known as the friend of sinners. He was known for always hanging around with the wrong crowd in the wrong kinds of places. Anybody here got that kind of reputation? Is that the kind of reputation Holland Road Baptist Church has? If you want to be like Jesus, that's what you need to do. Because Jesus said it's not the healthy people, but the sick who need a doctor. He said, I haven't come to call the righteous people who think they're good enough already. He says, I've come for the sinners. Jesus said, I've come for the sinners. People who don't need to be persuaded that they need me, Jesus said. They're the folks I'm interested in. Jesus knew Zacchaeus by name, and he saw something in that man's heart. And looking past what the man had done, he saw a desperate and lonely seeking soul, and Jesus loved him. Doesn't matter what other people think of you, it's what Jesus thinks of you that counts, isn't it? You might have taken many wrong turnings in life. You might feel, what am I doing in church this morning? How did I get in here? I don't belong with these nice, respectable, decent people. Well, this is where you need to be, because this is where Jesus is, and he loves people like you. You might have gone down all kinds of dead end turnings, all kinds of cul-de-sacs that have left you empty and messed up big time. Your choices might have led you, like Zacchaeus, into a lonely and friendless existence. But I've got news for you. Jesus knows you by name. And he doesn't condemn you, but he loves you. Quick, he says, come down. I want you to share your life with me. And as God's people, we need and must reflect that loving heart of Jesus and say to anyone who will listen, whoever you are, wherever you're from, whatever you've done, you're welcome here. We put that on our church notice board at New Life. It became our kind of watchword. And the interesting thing is, some people took us at our word. And we had some really, really interesting people come to New Life. And it was great. Because you might feel alone for all kinds of reasons, and possibly many of them your own fault. But you are not only lovable, you're loved by God and by his people in this church. Well, what was the last thing that Zacchaeus discovered? He discovered you can be lost, but recoverable. You can be lost but recoverable. Jesus didn't just know Zacchaeus' name, he also knew his reputation. He knew about the cheating, the extortion, the false accounting. He knew what was in this man's past, but he also saw this man's future. That's the great thing about Jesus. He doesn't just see what you are, he sees what, by the grace of God, you can become. He sees in us something worth rescuing. My father was born in a little terraced house in Leytonstone in East London. He was born at 117 Ashfield Road, Leytonstone, if you're interested. When we were growing up, we would visit his mum and dad in the little terraced house there in Ashfield Road. And I remember one day discovering the coal hole. And it was where they kept the coal for the fire that they had in the house. And somewhere at the back of this coal hole, in the deepest, darkest recesses of that dirty, dismal space, I saw an unfamiliar shape one day. So I managed to crawl into the coal hole and drag out this shape. And what I discovered was an old ship's lantern. It was painted battleship grey. It was a relic from the end of the Second World War, dated 1945. And eventually I persuaded my grandma and granddad to let me take it home with us. And when I got it home and opened it up, I discovered it was complete with all the inner workings of an oil lamp. And it wasn't made of steel or aluminium. It was made of brass with copper fittings. And over a period of time, I was able to strip off all that dull grey wartime paint and restore this ship's lantern to something of its former glory. I was able to recover something precious, to rescue and to restore it. And beneath the layers of dirt and grime and paint, I discovered something worth redeeming. It's something I still value today. In fact, I value it so much that I brought it with me. Would you like to see it? I was hoping you'd say that. There it is. Lovely, isn't it? Now I'll show you what it was like when I got it. So if you take the back off it, you can see some of the grey paint that I didn't strip off the inside. That was what it was like all over. And there's the works inside with the wick and the reservoir for the fuel and the reflector there. It's all complete. Lovely, isn't it? Do you think it was worth rescuing? Yes? So are you. You might feel lost, but Jesus considers you're worth rescuing. You're worth recovering. He sees something rescuing in every human being that he's ever made. He looks beyond the dirt and the grime of wrong choices and bad decisions, and he sees the treasure within. Sees the past with all its disappointments and despair, but he also sees the potential. He sees what can be. He sees what, with his help and power, you can become. He said, "The reason I've come is to seek and to save the lost. That's my mission, and you're included. Jesus loves you, no matter what. And he has a purpose for your life." Wonderful words from the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 29, where he says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They're plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me." Jesus gives you the same opportunity he gave Zacchaeus for a fresh start and a new beginning. And you just need to do what Zacchaeus did. What did Zacchaeus do? He did three things. First of all, he climbed down. He climbed down. Literally, he climbed down from his sycamore tree. It was a humbling but necessary thing to do. To recognize Jesus' authority and respond to his invitation, Zacchaeus had to climb down from his lofty position. He had to humble himself. But Jesus promises that whoever humbles himself will be exalted. It was a recognition of Jesus' authority and a confession of his need when Zacchaeus climbed down from the tree. You know, everyone has to climb down if they want to meet Jesus. You can't just stay as you are. You need to climb down. Let me ask you this morning. Maybe you've not committed your life to Jesus yet. Maybe you've been a Christian for many years. But is there any way in which you need to climb down today? Any area in which you need to humble yourself, to get off your high horse, and to admit to Jesus that you've been wrong and he's been right? Zacchaeus climbed down. Is there any area of your life where you need to climb down today? Second thing he did was he opened up. He opened up. Literally, he opened up his home. He took Jesus into his house, but I have a feeling he also opened up his heart. I can't imagine Zacchaeus having Jesus in his home without him opening up, can you? Telling Jesus about his life and his hopes and his fears and his joys and his sorrows. Confessing to Jesus the setbacks and disappointments there had been. Owning up to his crimes and his misdemeanors. They say that confession is good for the soul, and who better to confess to than Jesus? Anybody here need to confess anything to Jesus this morning? Have you invited Jesus not only into your home, but into the most deeply personal places of your life, things that nobody else is aware of? It's safe to do that with Jesus. Do you need to open up to him today? Are there secrets you need to own up to? Things you need to bring into the light and confess to Jesus that have never seen the light of day, that have been hidden in the dark recesses of your life for years? Lord, this is what I'm really like. Lord, would you come into those darkest, dirtiest, dingiest places of my life? Please, Lord Jesus, as I open up to them, would you clean them out? Zacchaeus opened up. Is there any way in which you need to open up this morning? And then finally, he turned around. He turned around. He changed the whole direction of his life. That's what repentance means. It's a change of mind that leads to a change of heart, that leads to a change of direction. I'm heading in this way, going away from God, going on my own road, down a path that's leading to disaster, and I come to my senses, changing my mind about all that stuff. I feel differently about it in my heart, and so with God's help, I turn around and go in a different direction. That's repentance. I've not only made a mess of my life, I've hurt other people and I've grieved God into the process and I need his forgiveness, and I resolve with God's help that my future is going to be different from my past. I'm going to turn around, go in a different direction. That's what Zacchaeus did. We heard how he said, I'm going to give half my wealth to the poor, and if I've defrauded anybody, I'm going to give them back four times as much. You know, even the law of Moses didn't require that. Only if the robbery was by a deliberate and violent act of destruction was fourfold restitution necessarily. And ordinarily, if a person was defrauded and the guilty person owned up, they only had to repay the amount plus 20%. But something has happened to Zacchaeus. And he says, I'll pay back four times as much. You know, something as significant has happened when it affects a person's attitude to money. I think it was Wesley who said someone who becomes a Christian needs two conversions, one of the heart and one of the wallet. Zacchaeus' wallet was converted on this day. A sea change took place in his life when he met with Jesus, which is why Jesus said, salvation has come to this house today. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. A thing is lost when it's in the wrong place. A person is lost when they're in the wrong place, having wandered away from God. And they're found when, like Zacchaeus, they take their place back by Jesus' side as an obedient child in the Father's home and family. I told you that the name Zacchaeus has two meanings, possible meanings. The first, based on it being a shortened form of Zechariah, means remembered by the Lord. The second is that it's derived from Zacchai, which means clean, innocent, someone whom the Lord has cleansed. I think both those names could easily be applied to Zacchaeus, don't you? They could apply to you too. Remembered and cleansed by the Lord. We're going to pause for a moment to pray now, just to reflect on what we've heard. So let's just bow for a moment of quiet reflection, thinking about how Zacchaeus met Jesus, how he opened up, how he climbed down, and how he turned around. Just think about what you've heard. Let me ask you again. Is there any way in which you need to climb down? An area of your life where you've been proud, resisting God, going your own way. And Jesus is saying to you this morning, you need to climb down. You need to humble yourself. Is there any way in which you need to open up? Secrets that need to be confessed and brought into the light of day. Things that you feel embarrassed and ashamed about. Things that you're worried and anxious about, and Jesus is just wanting you to tell him all about it. No excuses, no explanations. Just tell him the whole story. And perhaps there's an area of your life where you need to turn around. Zacchaeus' problem was dishonesty, a love of money, and dishonesty in financial affairs. Maybe that's your issue and the Holy Spirit has highlighted it. Maybe your problem's somewhat different than Zacchaeus's. Maybe it's that you've not been paying enough taxes. And the Holy Spirit has highlighted that this morning. I'd encourage you, just where you're seated, if you need to do business with God, this is your moment, this is your time. Jesus never went to Jericho again. That was Zacchaeus' only opportunity. And he took it and his life was changed for time and for eternity. I don't have any way of knowing what tomorrow will hold for you. This might be your only opportunity to do business with God and to put some things right. So just in the quietness, in your own heart and spirit, in whatever way is appropriate for you, I'd encourage you to do business with God. Lord Jesus Christ, if you had time for Zacchaeus, with all his faults and failings, all the things that were not very nice about him, Lord, we can all be assured that you have time for us. That no one is beyond your reach or too far gone to be redeemed. And Lord, I pray for each person who's been doing business with you in their heart. I pray that you will confirm your love for them, and that you will help them to take whatever practical steps they need to take in order to turn around and make their life right with you. I pray that each and every one of us, having done business with you this morning, may be able to go from this place with a light and joyful spirit, with a heart that is cleansed, and with the knowledge that we are remembered by the Lord. And we pray this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. We're going to sing our final song here. We have a ministry team.